Your hands are strong, covered in creases and scars, telling the story of a man who loves and works hard. They lifted me up when I needed saving. They pushed through the fear when Mom needed praying. And now they're both here, wiping the tears from my face. When I was half my height, used to place both my feet on yours, and we would glide. We would miss every beat. Of course I know you tried, but dancing was never your style. Now I'm 5'9", and when I took him home, Dad, that look in your eye, suddenly I had grown up, no longer a child, holding on to your hands. Oh, it's been years since we did, but Dad, can I have this dance? When my hands were small, yours taught mine to reach for the stars. They passed on bad habits as well, like biting my nails and flipping off cars. I was half my height when you'd place both my feet on yours, and we would glide. We would miss every beat. Of course I know you tried, but dancing was never your style. Now I'm 5'9", and when I took him home, Dad, that look in your eye, suddenly I had grown up, no longer a child, holding on to your hands. Oh, it's been years since we did, but Dad, can I have this dance? Lifted me up when I needed saving. They pushed through the fear when Mom needed praying. And now they're both here, wiping the tears from my face. When I was half my height, used to place both my feet on yours.
When I was half my height, used to place both my feet on yours, and we would glide. We would miss every beat. Of course I know you tried, dancing was never your style. Now I'm 5'9", and when I took him home, Dad, that look in your eye, suddenly I had grown up, no longer a child, holding on to your.
That was Can I Have This Dance, featuring Dan Edwards and Mairead, by Joey Clarkson, a singer-songwriter originally from the Comox Valley and now based in London, England. Her music combines catchy melodies and heartfelt lyrics, and she's just released her new single, One More for the Road, last week. I spoke with Joey over Skype. Joey, thanks so much for joining me for Indie Beat.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's go all the way back to your earliest musical history. Did you grow up in a really musical family?
I did, yeah. So my parents, they both played music recreationally, and they always had a guitar out around the house. So we're always doing kind of sing-alongs and campfire songs in the living room, and yeah, just lots of music around us.
Do you remember what the very first album was that you ever bought for yourself?
I do. I believe it was Dolly Parton's, like, one of her greatest hits, cassettes, and it was on discount at, I think it wasn't Overweighty, it was before then, it was Zellers. Oh, back when Zellers was still in business.
How do you normally approach your songwriting? Do your lyrics tend to inspire your music, or are you more likely to start with a hook or a riff or a beat?
I think that that's changing a lot now because I have an injury right now. So the way that I write music is kind of different from how I used to. I used to sit down with my guitar and then a song would kind of fall out. The lyrics and the melody would happen together at the exact same time. And the guitar would usually help facilitate that. So I would start with like a couple chords and then the lyrics and melody would come together. But since my injury and my inability to play guitar, I've had to kind of work more with, I guess melodies are coming to me a bit faster. So I'll get a melody and then I'll find words to fit that melody. And then the last step for me will be finding an accompaniment for it. Because that's the thing that I can't really do as much.
That's got to be frustrating.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
Do you anticipate being able to play again?
So I'm really lucky right now. I was allowed to start playing again in the last couple of weeks. So it's really been,
awesome.
I guess, like 2 weeks, and I can play like up to 20 minutes a day, but it's really more about what my body feels right doing at this point, because some days it'll hurt a lot after a couple of minutes and other days I feel like I can go a bit longer. I definitely can't play bar chords right now. So I feel like I'm 13 again. I can't even twist my arm that way, but I do have a surgery coming up and I'm on the wait list. So hopefully that means it'll get a little bit worse before it gets better, but then it will actually get better.
Best wishes for all of that.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about your musical career. You started out, you mentioned, in Comox. Now you're in the UK. How did all of that come about for you?
Oh, that's a bit of a long one. But yes, I did. I started out in Comox and I spent, most of my life in Comox. I did travel around quite a bit throughout Canada and BC, and I really loved my time there. We started touring in the UK back in 2011, and I kept doing tours kind of on an annual or like twice a year basis. And in 2012, we did kind of a whirlwind tour of 2 weeks during the Olympics, nothing to do with the Olympics. It just happened to be at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that's when I ran into the man who is now my husband. And So I ended up meeting Peter in 2012. And then we randomly ran into each other again in 2015. And that's when we started dating. And that's when I moved my life over here. So I was kind of touring quite actively, which is how we managed to run into each other a couple of times. And I always felt a pretty strong pull to the UK from the first time that I stepped onto the soil over here. And I think that's because my family was originally from the UK. So it feels like home over here.
You released your debut record, See You, Love You, Behave Yourself, back in 2013.
Oh, it was a while ago. Yes.
Yeah. Your most recent full-length record was last year, and your most recent single, One More for the Road, which we'll talk about in a minute, was just last week. How do you feel your sounds evolved with your newer releases?
I love that question because I think it really has evolved a lot since my newer material. I think the songs that I'm writing now are more honest and real than they've ever been because I feel like I've had the life experience to back up the stories that I'm now telling. And it's also, I've taken more of a producer's role in how my music is being developed and produced. So my most recent album, The Year That Never Happened, from last year, I was a co-producer on that album and I had a very clear vision of how I wanted it to be and I didn't sacrifice anything for what I wanted. So that record was very much for myself and not for anybody else. Whereas in previous records, I'd been working alongside and I love the people I was working with, but we had very different intentions for how the music would be released and what would happen to the music after it was released. So we were making music to try to fit into a market. And I feel like the music I'm making now is more music that's being made solely for myself, because if it does really well, then that's great. It does really well. But first and foremost, I think it's really important for me now to just create the things that my heart is saying I should be creating. And I think that's the main difference between the sound.
I hear that personal touch in your music now.
Thank you.
Tell me about the new single.
Oh, I'm so excited for this new single. So this one was this one was sparked by Peter, actually, my husband. And he has always said he's not a songwriter, and I highly disagree. He does arrangements for, like, big band arrangements and notates his own kind of musical versions of popular songs. And to me, I think that is, it's not writing the melody per se, but you are writing harmonies underneath it. So I've always thought of him as a songwriter. And he picked up the bass, I guess it was back in May, and started playing this riff, and it was just super hooky, and I was making chili at the time, and we just started, like, jamming out to it, and he brought the bass into our tiny kitchen. I think the bass spanned, like, almost the entire kitchen. And he stood behind, and he started just playing this, and the song just kind of fell out, and the title, One More for the Road, is an expression that we got from a big party we played at a German house party in 2019, where we closed down the party with the hosts, and Peter just kept saying, one more for the road, just one more for the road. And we've said that we wanted to write a song with that in it for ages, specifically for Ingo. And so we finally did. And so we kind of had the skeleton of the song all set together, but we knew that we wanted it to have a bigger sound, which is where Two Ways Home comes into play. And so we messaged them right away and we're like, hey, what do you think about doing a collaboration? Would you be interested in doing this song with us? We laid down a really rough take, like it was just bass guitar and my vocals on top. And we sent it to them and they were like, this sounds great. Yeah, let's do it. Let's look over the lyrics and let's possibly do some rewriting of the verses. And we kind of molded it. So the song originally started out as a bit of a love song because it was about a relationship and finding one more for the road. And then when we brought Two Ways Home into it, we redeveloped the verses so that it was more about friendship and friends coming together after spending time apart, so that it was a bit more relevant to what everybody's probably feeling right now, which is separation from the people we love and the need to connect again.
Do you remember how we used to be? We never cared about the little things. You said forever at 18. Now it's 8 years and counting. One more for the road. Down the hallway, tearing up the fast lane, putting on a show, turning up the volume. We never had a problem being loud wherever we go, with our hands stuck out the windows. One more for the road.
How did we lose sight of the
when we found